Now, you really did sing at that time. When we go on the air, I want you to do it just like that, will you?
Joe, what do you mean when we go on the air?
What?
We're on now.
We're what?
We're on, Joe.
Well, don't stand there, Bob Murphy. Do something. Ring the sleigh bell, somebody. That's it.
Yes, it's the Quiz Kids Christmas Party, friends. Coming to you this afternoon from the living room of Joe Kelly's home. There's no formal schoolroom atmosphere here. Instead, it's a typical picture for this season of the year. A group of happy youngsters gathered around a glittering Christmas tree and vainly trying to maintain some semblance of order is our host, the chief quizzer himself, Joe Kelly.
Well, thank you, Bob, and hello, everyone. Welcome to the Quiz Kids Christmas Party. We've invited some of the children here in the neighborhood to our party, and we have a few grown-up friends here, too. In fact, I wouldn't be at all surprised if the walls of the Kelly home aren't bulging quite a bit. But I agree with the youngsters. When it comes to a party, the more the merrier. You know, the children in our Quiz Kids classroom last Sunday offered to come out and help Mrs. Kelly and me trim our Christmas tree. So, I took them up on the offer, and, well, kids, I want to say right now, you've done a wonderful job. The tree looks beautiful. And say, I understand you Quiz Kids have worked up a Christmas program as sort of a surprise for teacher. Now, I don't know what kind of a program it is, but I certainly am anxious to hear it. And I know all our friends out there listening are, too. But first, just to keep in practice, let's have a few questions. Now, we'll just sit down here on the floor around the Christmas tree drink here. If Grandpa Kelly can make it, I couldn't miss the floor, really. Well, as usual, we'll start off with roll call. Joel.
I'm Joel Coverman. I'm 12 years old in 8th grade in Lavolta School.
Lonnie?
I'm Lonnie Lundy. I'm 13 years old in the 8th grade at Lincoln Junior High School in Park Ridge, Illinois.
Ruthie?
I'm Ruthie Deskin. I'm 14 years old and in 3D at South Shore.
Patrick?
I'm Patrick Holland. I'm 11 years old and 7B at the Fort Dearborn School in Chicago.
And little Melvin.
I'm Melvin Miles. I'm 5 years old. I go to kindergarten in Millard Park School.
Well, fine. Now that we've counted noses, here we go with the first question. You know, during this Christmas season, Evelyn Stewart of Buffalo, New York, has been thinking of children in other lands all over the world. She wonders if you Quiz Kids can say Merry Christmas in any language other than our own. All right, Ruthie.
Well, I think in French it would be Joyeux Noël.
Well.
Or something on that, or maybe it would be Noël Joyeux. I'm not sure what to do.
Yes, that's what it would be. That's fine. And Lonnie?
Well, I don't exactly know a foreign language, but I can give you it in languages that aren't English, like Pig Latin.
Pig Latin? Well, all right. How do you say Merry
Christmas? Merry May Isthmus Cray. Eyed language. That's my variety, Cribus Mibus.
Oh, that's dandy, yes. Uh-huh. And little Melvin has his hand up.
Well,
all right, Melvin.
I was going to say the same thing. I could say two, so seeing as Sue and Lonnie said it in Pig Latin, I could say it in Polish.
Oh, in Polish. Well, all right. Let's hear Merry Christmas.
That's our strength.
Well, what do you know about that? That's fine. Oh, say, by the way, have you kids heard why Santa Claus is giving his reindeer umbrellas for Christmas presents this year? Have you heard? Pat?
Well, would it have something to do that what goes up the chimney up can't come down the chimney down, or that old joke?
No. Lonnie?
Well, it might have some connection with their rain. Their name, reindeers.
Well, you're warm, Ruthie.
Well, maybe it'd be to keep the reins out.
Well,
out of their faces.
You're pretty close. It's to keep them out of the rain, dear. Oh, dear. Just had to get that in there. That's all right, too. Well, now, the next question here is from Miss Doris Bredenberg of Seattle, Washington. And she wants to know what opera characters might have used these familiar present-day signs to advertise their business. First, a red and white striped pole. What opera character, Patrick?
Well, that would be Figaro. The Barber of Seville and the Marriage of Figaro. He was a barber.
Absolutely.
Who, he says he called... he combed the men's hair by day and made love to the ladies by night.
Yeah. And how about the sign of the flying red horse? What opera character? The sign of the flying red horse, Pat?
Well, it might be the Flying Dutchman.
Well,
no, not on a horse, but...
No, not exactly. Joel?
Well, wouldn't it be Brunhilde in the Ring operas?
Well, you're very, very close. Very close. Did we give up on this, Ruthie?
Well, I think it'd be the Valkyrie.
That's right, absolutely. That's right, Ruthie, huh? That was very good, children. As usual, we're sending a fine Zenith transoceanic shortwave portable radio to Doris Bredenberg of Seattle, Washington, for sending in this question that you have answered correctly. Now, if you miss a question this afternoon, Alka-Seltzer's reward will be the same as it usually is, a big Zenith radio phonograph combination. You know, the wear and tear of Christmas shopping is getting a lot of people down, including Sally Michener of Minneapolis, Minnesota. And with only a few more shopping days to go, she wishes she had a few of those remarkable mythological characters to help her shop. Can you tell us a few that might be helpful, Pat?
Well, Hercules would be very helpful, so he could carry all the presents.
That's right.
And yes. Minerva would be fine, too, so she could think of what to get.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And Aphrodite would be so beautiful that the men would clear out the way.
Yes, sure.
She'd charm them so much.
Oh, she would, yes, definitely. And Ruthie?
Well, I think Mercury, because there was one couple that he visited once, and he made their cups so that it was always flowing with water, so maybe he could make our pockets so they were always flowing with money.
Which would be wonderful, especially around Christmas time, wouldn't it? And Joel?
Well, Argus, because he had 100 eyes and there's a lot of things that we want to get, and also Mercury again, because he could fly and there'd be no trouble about transportation because you just could fly over the heads of the crowd.
That's true. And Lonnie?
Well, I was going to say somewhat what Joel was saying. Sir F. Fenton, he drove the chariot of the sun. That would provide transportation. And
yes.
Also Cupid would make the clerks real friendly and everything, possibly.
He certainly would.
And also Atlas, if he held up the world, he could also hold up a few Christmas packages.
That he could. And Melvin?
Well, maybe I don't have as quite as entertaining to the question here, but I could say maybe the shoemaker and the elf, because the shoemaker was getting very poor, and the elves helped him. He made the shoes for him, and they got more money. And, you know, then the work was all done, then they could sell it faster, and then the wife gave them some clothes.
Yes, well, now, that's all right, Melvin. Yes, sir. Those were all very good answers, kids. I'm awfully glad that you brought all of those out. Now then, here on this next question, Max D. Reed of Portland, Oregon, wants to know why this year, but never before and never again, the sequence 1 dozen, 2 dozen, and 4 dozen signifies happiness. 1 dozen, 2 dozen, and 4 dozen. Joel?
Well, 1 dozen would be 12, 12th month of the year.
Yes.
2 dozen is 24. That's the 24th day is Christmas Eve.
Yes.
And 4 dozen is 48, and that would be 1948.
That's absolutely right, Joel. Yes, sirree. December 24th, 1948. Now, Mrs. Charles Donnelly of Corpus Christi, Texas, wants a white Christmas so much this year that she thought up this question. It's all about white animals. Who was chasing these white animals in literature? First, a white whale. Who was chasing a white whale? Lonnie?
Well, that was in the story Moby Dick. Moby Dick was the whale, and let's
right.
see, the...
Who was chasing?
It was a cannibal.
No.
Well, the ship they were on was the Pequod. I know
well,
that.
Well, all right, but...
Captain Ahab,
that's the answer, yes, sir. And how about a white rabbit? Ruthie?
Well, that was Alice in Alice in Wonderland. She chased him down the rabbit hole and right into Wonderland.
She certainly did. Oh, say, listen to that, would you? Those sleigh bells really have a merry sound, don't they? And quiz kids, that means that school is over, and it's time for the fun to begin. Oh, boy, say, I'll bet you quiz kids have been wondering about those presents under the Christmas tree, haven't you? Well, so have I. And if someone will just help me get up off the floor, we'll have a look. Yes, sirree. Oh, no, Melvin, thanks. I'm afraid you'll have to spend a few more seasons working with your road gang before you can tackle this kind of job. Say, Bob Murphy,
yes,
how would you take over while we take a look at our Christmas presents?
Well, swell, Joe, and I'm glad to have this chance to talk to the folks listening in. I know you're going to be mighty busy during the next 5 days, friends, and I also know that you don't want to wake up Christmas morning with a cold. But have you noticed? Old Man Cold is really making the rounds. Let's hope he doesn't catch up with you. However, if you should feel a cold coming on, remember Alka-Seltzer. Yes, remember and try Alka-Seltzer for fast relief from much of your cold distress. Here's the ABC cold comfort treatment. A, Alka-Seltzer. B, be wise. Beware of drafts, be careful of your diet, and be sure you dress sensibly and try to get more rest than usual. And C stands for comfort. The comfort an Alka-Seltzer gargle can give a sore throat caused by a cold. Well, there it is, friends. Alka-Seltzer's ABC cold comfort treatment, as easy as ABC to follow and really effective. Just try it and see for yourself. Remember, when you begin to sniffle and sneeze, start Alka-Seltzer's ABCs. Get Alka-Seltzer at any drugstore and say better buy that extra package, too. That's the wisest thing to do. Say, Joe, how are you and the Quiz Kids coming along with those presents?
Oh, fine, Bob. Fine, just fine. What do you know? Here's one left over here, kids. Let's see. Bob, it has your name on it.
Well,
thank you very much, Joe. This is very nice.
You're welcome, Bob, but don't stand there just holding it. Open it up and let's see what it is. We all want to have a look at it.
Look, I can tell by the gleam in your eye you already know what it is.
No. Bob, why, of course.
Holy smokes, Joe. Look at this thing here.
What do you know? It's a cup and saucer, and the biggest cup I ever saw, sir. Oh, yeah. Bob, do you like coffee?
Oh, you bet I do, Joe.
Well, with a big cup like that, you better drink your coffee black because that waistline of yours will really grow.
The pot is calling the kettle black over there. Seriously, Joe, what'd you find under the Christmas tree, huh?
Oh, one of the nicest presents I ever received. The Quiz Kid gave me this beautiful cashmere scarf. Isn't it a dandy?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Well, thanks a lot, kids, ever so much. And now let's hear what the Quiz Kid found on the Christmas tree. Well, what was in your package, Ruthie?
Oh, the most luscious pair of yellow Angora mittens with all sorts of colored trimmings all over them. I love Angora. Thanks so much.
Oh, I say, they're beautiful, aren't they? And, Lonnie, how about you?
Well, I got a swell football game here. It has a great big board and a spinner, a board that you spin on. It looks like a lot of fun. I'll have to try that out as soon as I get home.
That's a dandy, isn't it? And, Joel?
I got a nice little zipper notebook, just what I need. I'm going into high school in February.
Oh, fine. Well, did you open it up?
Yeah, sure.
Huh? What's inside, Joe?
Please.
Huh? Open it way up there. What?
A turtle.
A turtle, yeah. Oh, surprise, Joe. Joe, yeah. He collects turtles as a hobby. Yes, sir. That's a dandy one, too. Well, how about you, Patrick?
Well, I think I got the best of all. It's an album of Decca Records with a Christmas carol by Charles Dickens and Ronald Coleman as Scrooge. And I'm going to try that out as soon as I get home, but I'm sure it'll be very
fine.
Good.
Oh, fine. Well, say, that's wonderful. And Melvin, how about you? What did you get, son?
I got a molding set here.
Get out.
The thing that I've been always wanting, my mother just bought that for a gift, and she said I'm too little, but I think I could work them anyway.
Oh, I'm sure you could. Yes, sir. Well, it doesn't take a mind reader to tell that you're all pleased with your presents. But I know that you Quiz Kids have experienced the real meaning of Christmas this year by playing Santa Claus to a lot of youngsters who are not as fortunate as you are. Yes, and you've been generous, Santa Claus, too. You see, friends, the Quiz Kids learned about the youngsters on the Navajo Indian Reservation, 150 miles back in the desert near Shiprock, New Mexico. Now, these youngsters belong to families who missed out on the relief work done for Navajos in the last year. So all the Quiz Kids who have ever been on our program decided to make this Christmas a very, very merry one for these little Indian kids. They have sent a shipment of over 500 new and reconditioned toys, a really wonderful collection of toys, beautiful dolls, books, wind-up trains, musical instruments, a high chair, a doll's house, in fact, just about everything that children everywhere like to have. Along with the toys, which are being distributed by the doctor in charge of the hospital in Shiprock, the Zenith Radio Corporation has donated one of their big radio phonograph combinations for the hospital there. Wasn't that nice? So we could say Merry Christmas to our little Navajo Indian friends out there on the desert in New Mexico and know that they are going to have just that. Now then, Quiz Kids, I think I've waited long enough for this surprise present you have for me, this program you've planned. I guess it's going to be a lot like the Christmas stocking hanging over the fireplace. You don't know what's in it until you look, and believe me, I'm ready to take a peek right now. Ruthie, suppose you start us off.
Well, I've written a little poem. I suppose it'd be more appropriate a few hours from now, but I'm going to read it now anyway.
All right.
It's a parody on the night before Christmas called A Visit from the Quiz Kids. 'Twas the week before Christmas at Joe Kelly's house, and the Quiz Kids were gay as a waltz seen by Strauss. Our genial host, the chief quizzer himself, was dressed all in red like that dear Christmas elf. Soon from the piano, there issued a chord that sounded like cranking a Model T Ford. Oblivious, Lonnie continued to play, while Pat's Irish tenor went trilling away. Joel, sampling each cookie and sweet, interrupted the music with, "When do we eat?" And wee little Melvin, in his best bib and tucker, stood licking the last of his old all-year sucker, while I, looking on with envious eyes, wondered if pretzels would increase my size. Yes, the Kellys, the Quiz Kids, our parents and staff had a wonderful party with many a laugh. But poor Mrs. Kelly was thankful, I fear, that the Quiz Kids, like Christmas, come but once a year.
Oh, that was bad, really. It certainly was. Now, little Patrick here has worked up some sort of a mysterious skit, so I'm going to turn the program over to you, Pat. You tell us what you have, will you?
Well, it is I've written a play, and it's called A Present for Santa Claus. In collaboration with the other Quiz Kids, we have worked up parts, and here is the cast. Santa will be played by Melvin Miles. Twinkle, a chubby elf, played by Bob Murphy. Snowball, the peace helper of Santa, played by Joel Kupperman. Elmer, another chubby elf, played by Joe Kelly. Mr. Baker, played by Ruthie Dustin. Mr. Baker, played by Pat Conlon. And Billy Baker, played by Lonnie Lundy. Scene 1, Santa Claus's Workshop. 2 days before Christmas.
Now, hurry, hurry. Work, work. It's time for play, but let's not shirk. Let's not do our work by half. When we're through, we'll dance and laugh.
Well, we elves get to have some fun before old Santa Claus. All he gets is orders and more orders. He never gets paid for his services. He says his reward is like seeing boys and girls made happy, and I think he deserves something more than that.
Why, I think you're right, pal. I mean, elf. Oh, and here comes Santa now.
Ho, ho, ho. What's this I hear about old Saint Nick at Christmas time? Joy does the trick. Oh, Santa never need complain.
What goes
to... Okay, your time.
Oh, yeah.
Let love rain.
Don't leave me hanging on the
That's all very well now, Santa. That's all very well now, Santa, but just look at your clothes. Look at those gloves. They're at least 50 years old.
Oh, maybe they are
a little
old, but I'll make them last for another
25
years.
Now get to work, Santa. I mean, Melvin. Melvin, you're supposed to say, now get to work.
Well, now let's get to work. We have all things to do, you know, now.
Scene 2, the same evening in the living room of the Baker home. Enter Mr. Baker. Anybody home? Dinner will be ready in a minute here.
Oh, hello, Dad. Say, I wanted to ask you if I could have some more money to buy another Christmas present.
Why, you've already borrowed quite a little over your usual allowance, Billy. I thought you bought all your presents.
Well, not exactly. You see, well, I wanted to buy a present for Santa.
What? A present for Santa? Well, now that's just silly. I mean, well, he doesn't get presents, he gives them.
Oh, I know, but gosh, I had an awfully funny dream last night, and I want to get Santa a pair of gloves. Please let me have the money. I'll pay you back. Honest, I will.
Oh, all right. Now run along and wash your hands before dinner.
A present for Santa. Indeed.
What are you mumbling about?
Billy wants to buy a pair of gloves for Santa.
Imagine that.
Scene 3, the Baker living room, late Christmas Eve. Santa steps down the chimney accompanied by Snowball.
Oh, this is a pleasant room here. Now, let's see. Now, this here is the, yes, the Baker living room. All right. All right, Snowball, pull out the Baker's dozen.
Ha, ha, ha. Santa, how can you still joke after all the hard work you've done tonight? I'm worried about you. Really, I am. Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Oh, wish we'll get that work done quick. Why, look at this, a pair of gloves for Santa from Billy Baker. Why, some people are worried about the younger generation. I'm worried about the older generation.
Now it's the next morning in the Baker home. Mr. and Mrs. Baker are picking up the gay wrappings left from the gifts. Billy did seem to enjoy his gift, didn't he? Where is he now?
Oh, he's getting all slicked up for church.
He didn't seem to mind about Santa not taking those gloves.
Oh, that was clever of you, dear, letting him put them here for Santa.
Why, they're right here by the fireplace. Well, I'll be switched. Look at these old moth-eaten gloves. Full of holes. Where did they come from?
Why, I suppose Billy's playing a trick on us. But look at the size of them. Where did they come from? And look, am I seeing things? In the fireplace. In the ashes. Footprints. A huge one and a tiny one going into the fireplace.
This is ridiculous. We know all about Santa Claus.
I'm not so sure of what I know.
Oh, footprints. I don't understand it. Say, I don't know. Maybe you're right. What if Billy is right? Maybe what all the world needs is the perfect faith of a child.
Hey, that was a humdinger. Yes, sirree, Patrick. Now, what's next round here?
Well, Joe, you're next on the program. It says Joe Kelly.
Oh, well, there's a little mistake there. That's a different Joe Kelly.
Different Joe Kelly?
Yes, it's my little 11-week-old grandson.
Well,
Joe.
Is he here today, Joe?
Is he here? Well, I should say so. And here he is right here. Well, come on, son. Say something to all the folks out there, all the other little babies. Yes, yeah, say something to them. Yeah. Give a great big plug for Alka-Seltzer. Now, come on. After all, we're coast to coast on NBC. Yeah, I knew he was of course, that's only his grandfather speaking. Yes. Well, now let's see what's next here. Oh, yeah. Say, Joel, what are you going to do for your part of the program?
Well, I'm not quite a piano player, but I stuck with the piano, so I'll do my best.
Oh, fine. Well, what are you going to play for us?
Condensation of Waltz in E flat by Duran.
Oh, that'll be dandy. All right, get over there to the piano. Now, everybody be real quiet. You too, Joe the Third. Mighty fine. Now, Melvin, I wonder if you will tell us in your own words
the story of the first Christmas. Would you do that for me?
Sure, I will. I'll be glad to.
Once
Joseph and Mary were traveling to a new town called Bethlehem. And Joseph walked and Mary rode a donkey. So Mary became pretty tired by that time. And so Joseph tried one hotel and another, but none of them had no room. And it was the same thing and same thing went on and on until finally they came to the last one. And the man said, "You can't. I have no room for you in this here hotel, but you can sleep in my stable." So they went. They were very glad to find a place to sleep. And they went. So Joseph made a nice bed out of straw for Mary. And Mary lay down. And also, and just at that minute, a bright star showed at Bethlehem. And just then, at that moment, a little baby infant Jesus was born. And also, three wise men were studying the stars, and they saw that bright one. So they went. They said, "Could this be the star that we've been looking for, searching for? And could that be the star of Jesus?" So they went and followed and followed till it finally showed down. And they went in, and sure enough, there it was. It was little infant Jesus laying down, and Mary and Joseph were watching the baby, and they brought gold and myrrh, some other incense. And that was it.
Well, fine. That was just fine. Wasn't that good for a little five-year-old? Well, Lonnie, it's your turn now, and what surprise do you have for me?
Well, this week I composed a little Christmas carol that I'd like to sing for you.
Oh.
I call it The Guiding Star.
Oh, well, let's listen to it. Now, everybody be real quiet. Lonnie's sitting down at the piano. All right, fine.
The brilliant star of Bethlehem shone on that holy day. And guided wise men to the spot where the tiny baby lay. And angels came from heaven above, the tidings glad to sing. To shepherds who had gathered on to worship the new king. The joyous news that reached the world on that first Christmas day has spread throughout the entire earth to guide men on their way. When hope is low, man must but look to that bright star again. To man is faith reborn with peace on earth, good will toward men.
Thank you, Lonnie. That was fine. I'm so proud of all of you kids. You know, folks, it's been a tradition on the Quiz Kids program to close our Christmas broadcast with a prayer. And right now, I'd like to ask little five-year-old Melvin to lead us in a Christmas prayer.
Dear God, thank you for everything you have given us. And please take care of all the sick and hungry people all over the world. And dear God, please especially take care of the orphans, because they have no mother and daddy like we have. So dear God, will you please take care of them? Thank you for my nice baby brother, because not everyone has a nice baby brother like that. Amen.
Well, thank you, Melvin. That was a beautiful prayer and a perfect ending for our Christmas program. And I want to thank all you Quiz Kids for making it such a fine program.
The Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer and One-A-Day brand vitamins, want to extend the best wishes of the season to you and yours. May you enjoy a very happy Christmas. Today's Quiz Kid program came to you from the living room of Joe Kelly's home in Chicago. This is Bob Murphy speaking.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.